the Money Planet Swaps Podcast, episode 80. Welcome back to the Money Planet Swaps Podcast. I am Steve Stewart, your humble servant and personal finance architect, helping everyday Americans to pay attention, not interest. My goal is to teach us how to live on less than we make, show the importance of avoiding and eliminating debt from our lives, and expose the manipulative messages from those trying to get to your money. You can follow me on Twitter at MoneyPlanSOS, or of course join us on Facebook, facebook.com/MoneyPlanSOS, or send me an email, steve@MoneyPlanSOS.com. This week we talk about bankruptcy with a debt solutions attorney, Emily Chase Smith. This is a very touchy subject for me to talk about because I really don't want people to file bankruptcy, but I do believe there are situations when bankruptcy might be, well, the only solution for you. I do believe there's things that have to be done before you try just jumping into a bankruptcy, because I think in America, we just think that bankruptcy is there waiting for us if we ever need it. And we're no longer aware of the stigma of filing for bankruptcy and what that does to our lives. It just worries me that we've gotten to this part in our society where, oh, bankruptcy is a viable option. Well, when we talk to Emily Chase Smith, you're going to hear about some of the changes in the bankruptcy law back in 2005, what bankruptcy is, and of course, debt solution options as well. Bankruptcy is not the only option when you're scraping by. There are other things you can do. And then, just to give you a little heads up, I also will have an interview next week with a gentleman who does some debt settlement. So we'll be getting into a couple of sticky subjects that I'm not an expert in. I like to know about them. I like to educate people about them. I don't drive people towards them, but there are situations where you need to consider bankruptcy or debt settlement and debt negotiation. So I really do hope you get something out of these next few episodes. But before we get into this interview with Emily Chase Smith, I need to let you know that the giveaway is now live. As I mentioned last week, we are giving away a copy of YNAB, You Need a Budget. And the giveaway is live at moneyplanetsos.com/YNAB Christmas. YNAB Christmas. There's about four or five different options you can choose from on how to gain entries, and you can enter every single day to try and win a copy of YNAB. And the YNAB's going to be active and going on until Black Friday, Black Friday 2012. So if you're listening to this, you can go to moneyplanetsos.com/YNAB Christmas. You can go every single day and do something every single day to earn more entries to give yourself a chance to win. In fact, I'm looking at it now. I just released it a couple of hours ago. And Meg from Sparing Change has already put in 3 entries. No, is it 12 entries? Oh, I think she's already got 12 entries in there. So I haven't even announced it officially yet, but Meg's already in there, and she's trying to get a copy of this. So, hey, Meg, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I'm going to pray for you because I just read your post from October 18th. And looks like you've got a lot of rough times ahead of you, but I'll say a prayer for you. And in the meantime, you guys go ahead, listen to this interview with Emily Chase Smith, who's a debt solutions attorney, and sit back, relax, and learn.
To me, bankruptcy is not always the solution. It is sometimes the solution, but not always.
Today on the Money Planet SOS podcast, I have the pleasure of having Emily Chase Smith. She is a debt solutions attorney from emilychasesmith.com. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
I appreciate it. We connected recently on Twitter. I don't know how it happened. It just seemed like I was listening to you. You said you were listening to me. We had no idea. But we both said we wanted to have each other on our shows. So you've recorded an interview with me. You've already released it. I'm going to be releasing this here a couple of weeks later. But I definitely wanted to get you on because you've got a background in something that I try to keep people to avoid. So first of all, tell us who you are and what is it that you do to help people.
Okay. Well, my history, my professional background is I'm just a garden variety attorney. You know, I graduated from law school in the early 90s, and they say that young lawyers practice food law. So anything that puts food on the table. So as a young lawyer, you have the privilege of practicing in a lot of different areas. But when I really became intentional about my career and sat down and kind of thought through, you know, the different areas of practice and said, what do I want to do? What do I want to dedicate my life to? You know, bankruptcy really rose to the top because it's an area of the law where you can really be helpful to people on a holistic fashion. So you're taking them from where they are to where they want to be. And so I really focused on that. Now, as I got more into becoming a practicing bankruptcy attorney, I realized, you know, bankruptcy sometimes is not the solution. We need other debt solutions. And so that's why I call myself a debt solutions attorney. It sort of evolved from the idea of being a bankruptcy attorney, but really looking at how can we use the law once a situation progresses past the point where a budget's going to help you to get people from where they are to where they need to be.
Now, I think most people believe that a bankruptcy attorney, all they do is help them file for bankruptcy. But you have more of the debt settlement in your background and what you help people with. Is that correct?
I do. And, you know, most bankruptcy attorneys do that. They're kind of practitioners and they're set up and their mindset is bankruptcy. So if you walk in the door and you fit the bankruptcy model, they will file your bankruptcy, which, you know, is fine. But I really feel like people need to know their choices. And a lot of people, I mean, one of the first things we talk about when I consult with clients is, what is your feeling about bankruptcy? Some people, it's an avoid at all costs because it is a life event. I mean, once you've gone through a bankruptcy, it's kind of a loss. It's like going through a divorce. I mean, something has happened that's large in your life. So for some people, that is more meaningful than for other people. So I feel like you can't just hit the same nail with the same hammer for everybody. And really, that's why I feel like I'm different than most bankruptcy attorneys, because to me, bankruptcy is not always the solution. It is sometimes the solution, but not always.
So how much of your business model, or how much of your workload is actually doing the bankruptcy thing, and how much of it is doing the debt settlement negotiation?
We do about half and half, I would say. And I've seen that number move more towards the 50-50 as I'm watching the economy slowly recover. Because as your income rises, it can disqualify you from bankruptcy. Every state has a median income that you must be at or under to be able to qualify for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. So, you know, back when people were losing their jobs and there were furlough days and there were pay cuts, that was much more common. Now the income side is starting to revive a bit, which gives people more options. So a lot of times we'll decide to attack debt using debt negotiation. We have maybe the same scenario where somebody has credit card debt or medical debt or old business loans that are in default, but we can do a debt negotiation, pay those off for a much reduced rate, and that'll get them to the same place, which is out of debt, which is our goal. So it's just a matter of, what path are we going to take to get there? What's going to best serve you? What do you have the resources to do? And we're seeing about half and half, about half bankruptcy, half some other solution that usually involves debt negotiation.
Maybe we should qualify what bankruptcy truly is, because I know it's changed in the last few years, and I want the listeners to understand exactly what bankruptcy is. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how it used to be, and then maybe what it is today, because the laws have changed and it makes it a little more difficult to file a bankruptcy.
Yes, true. If you're a fan of the television program The Office, and we haven't had a television in 17 years, but that show just rolls me. And the boss on The Office is Michael Scott, who's Steve Carell, and he gets into financial trouble. And so he stands up in the middle of the office and he says, "I declare bankruptcy." And he thinks he's done. Like, that was it. He declared bankruptcy. And of course, somebody has to come along and kind of let him know what it really is. It really is a filing. It's with the federal court, so it's federal law, and it's basically a declaration that the debt is of the level that I can't handle it anymore. I need the government to step in and wipe out this debt so that I can go forward. Now, back in the day when we used to file them, pre-2005, if you were willing to file for bankruptcy, you could. There were some qualifiers. Usually in bankruptcy, there's a minimum level of assets that you can take through. So that means if you had assets over and above that amount, you'd have to give up those assets to the court and they'd be distributed to your creditors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you had $200,000 in debt and you had, you know, $50,000 in assets, you know, that was a good deal and that would allow you to go forward. In 2005, there was a big revision of the bankruptcy code. Like I mentioned, it's federal law. It's got some state-specific things to it, too. But, you know, it's filed in federal court. The bankruptcy code is federal law. So that federal law was changed to have these income qualifications. There were some other changes that were made, too. But the one that really changed the game was the income qualifications. So now there's a median income set for every state. And if you're at or below that, you can qualify to file for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. If you're over that, then you need to look at filing a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, which is really a different animal. It's a reorganization, and it's between 3 to 5 years, and you pay your discretionary income to the court during that time. The result is the same. You receive a full discharge of your debt. It's just with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, you're in and out in 4 to 6 months. But with the Chapter 13 bankruptcy, you, your attorney, and the bankruptcy court will be together for 3 to 5 years. So 2005 really changed who could qualify for a Chapter 7 and who was now going to have to be a Chapter 13. And for a lot of us, I'm in California. I'm in Orange County. Orange County is a very expensive place to be, but our median income is for the entire state of California, including our much lower income areas. So for my county, that median income is very, very low. It would be very difficult to live on that median income in my county. And so we are doing a lot more things other than bankruptcy because we're seeing a lot more people not qualify based on income. So that was a long answer to your short question exactly bankruptcy is and how it's changed in the last, what would that be, 12 or so years?
No, that's exactly what I think we were looking for, is an answer to what is bankruptcy today, because it's changed. So how many people do you think were filing bankruptcy before as a percentage that aren't able to now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, I have clients
quite often who come in and they want to file a bankruptcy and they can't. I mean, their income just is too high. I mean, I have single teachers. A single teacher income in my county is too high. I have couples who come in who are teachers. And I use teacher just because most people would think, oh, yeah, that person would qualify. In my county, they don't, you know.
Wow. So the debt settlement really does come into play more as a business model for someone like you.
Yeah. I mean, we need it. We need it as a tool.
Yeah.
So my guess is going forward, more attorneys will start to offer it because it's necessary. Otherwise, you just tell the client, I'm sorry, I can't help you, and they leave. Well, if you're in the business of helping people, that's not a win. That's not a win for anybody to say, well, gosh, you can't file for bankruptcy. See you later. You know, I mean, they're here because they need help. So let's help them. So I think more attorneys will start getting on that bandwagon.
Yeah. And you dove into this before anybody else, it sounds like, because you've been doing this for quite a while. Plus, you got a podcast out there. That's really cool.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. You just see the need. I mean, I just hate turning people away. There has to be a solution. So let's look for it. What's the solution?
You know, I didn't even mention the name of your podcast. I think a lot of listeners would enjoy the title. It's called Big Dumb Stupid Debt. You want to tell us why you called it that?
You know, it just felt like the five-year-old inside of you wants to just say, Big Dumb Stupid Debt. I mean, you just get, you know, my kids will be, big dumb stupid, you know. Stupid is the S word in my house. You know, ooh, they said the S word. You just get aggravated. You want it gone. And so, yeah, that's why I named it that. Big Dumb Stupid Debt. Let's just leave it behind.
Yeah, I just appreciate you doing stuff like that because it shows that you're out there to help people. You're not just a bankruptcy attorney trying to help people file bankruptcy. You want to help them in the way that is best suited for them.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, because I've been there, we've been in financial crisis. My family's been in financial crisis. I wrote about it extensively in the About Us page on my website. So people could really see, you know, I'm not, you know, some lawyer who's always had a silver spoon in my mouth who's, you know, helping the poor people who can't, you know, decide what to do with their finances. You know, I've been there. I remember writing checks. How bizarre is this? And thinking if I write these checks fast enough, somehow that makes a difference. Like there'll be enough money in there if I hurry fast enough.
Huh?
You know, it's been there. I've been where you wake up in the middle of the night sweating because you don't know how you're going to juggle all of this. It's scary stuff.
So when does bankruptcy make sense for someone?
Well, I say I help people after Dave Ramsey's baby steps just aren't enough. And Dave himself filed bankruptcy and he's very forthcoming about that. It's not something he wanted to do, but really his situation was dire enough that he needed to do that. And so, you know, that's where I help people. When you have creditors that are coming after you and you don't have the resources to satisfy those creditors, you need professional legal help. You know, when you're being sued, when your bank account's being levied, when your wages are being garnished, when people are showing up at your door, I mean, you need help. You need more than a budget. It's to that point. And so that, you know, that's kind of where I say that I step in.
Yeah, I think that's a great qualification. When you're getting garnished, when things are being taken away from you, that's the point when you can start really considering talking to a bankruptcy attorney about filing. Because I think in the old days, people just thought, you know, well, bankruptcy is a bad thing, we don't want to do it. But it changed over the past couple decades to where it became more socially acceptable. And now it's, I was talking to a financial blogger the other day who was talking about how, you know, yeah, I still have my credit cards, but I manage them. And it's like, okay, what if you lost your job? What would you do with this credit card debt? Well, I could just file bankruptcy. And that just like blew my mind. You know, that was her option.
Yeah. Well, and then he'll show up in my office and I'll have to tell him, you know, you don't just file. You don't just say, I want to, and that's the end of the discussion. That's not the game anymore. And it hasn't been since 2005. So you can't have that thinking you have it in your back pocket if it doesn't really exist.
So what do you think the biggest thing that people don't think about is when they're considering filing bankruptcy?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the discussion I have almost always is my credit. What's this going to do to my credit? And so we have the whole discussion about that. And, you know, it is an atom bomb on your credit, but it's not forever. And yes, it's on there for 10 years, but you'll really be recovered in about two. You can buy a house, you can buy a car, all of that on credit if you want to, 2 years outside of a bankruptcy. But I don't think that they really consider, because they don't know, you know, we have to know what your income is to know if you qualify. We have to know what your equity is in your home. I mean, sometimes home equity alone will throw somebody out of a bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. I had a great couple in here just a couple weeks ago. They had opened a whole business. They had a whole brick and mortar business. They had to close it down. They had significant business debt. They have too much equity in their home to file bankruptcy. They will lose their home. Well, they have little kids that, you know, that would be very dire for them to lose their home. So we have to look at another solution. So people kind of think, I'll just file. But, you know, it's a legal remedy. It's federal law. And there are a lot of rules that you come with it. And the court is really... You know, we say it takes you basically down to zero and you can start again, which sometimes is that's what you need. Get me to zero. Zero is a good place. But, you know, other times zero is a bad result. So there are things that people don't think about because they don't know about them. And a lot of times it has to do with the asset side.
What do you believe when people say that I have to rebuild my credit? I have a friend who filed bankruptcy actually twice, and he immediately started getting credit card offers in the mail where they were offering credit to him.
Uh-huh.
What do you feel about that?
I think they're drug pushers. I tell my clients, oh, yeah, because, you know, people are always interested in their credit and all of that. And so we have that discussion. And I say, oh, don't worry. The drug pushers will be at your door. I mean, you are their perfect client. How many years did you pay those minimum payments and just line their pockets? They want you back. They hope you didn't learn. They want to get you hooked again, and they'll offer you whatever they think it takes. And so you have to be careful. You know, you have to be the guardian of your heart and your wallet. And, you know, if you're really interested in rebuilding your credit, yes, that's how you do it. But you have to be really careful and understand what they're offering you is drugs.
And if I could add to that, they know that you can't refile in a certain amount of time. So if they're one of the first creditors to give you a credit card and you run that bill up again, you can't drop them.
Yeah, they know they have you. Yeah, exactly.
You're stuck. So don't. Once you get the slate cleared off, unless you reaffirm some things, you really start off brand new, like coming out of your parents' basement. You've got nothing, but you've got no debt. Start life off right is my message. You don't need another car loan.
Yeah. It's such a, when bankruptcy is warranted, it can be really good thing, because again, it's that second chance. It's that idea of forgiveness. And when you get that, if you can appreciate it, you know, you've gone through the fire and you're ready now. You know, you're ready to experience all that debt freedom has to offer. You're ready to build your retirement. You're ready to save up for the kids' college, open that new business, take that vacation. You're able to do that now. And so that's what I really try to let my clients know. You know, you've been forgiven, so take that forgiveness and go.
And don't take out more loans.
And you know, it's funny because a lot of times people will have this discussion about credit and I'll say, you know, they'll be offering and their response is like, oh no, I don't want that. And I'll say, perfect. You learned the lesson.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
That. You don't want that.
So what would be the three steps that you can recommend or three things that someone can do to avoid having to file bankruptcy?
Well, I feel like the first step that's the most important is to get good counsel. So where you really sit down and unpack exactly what's going on the income side, on the expenses side, what assets you have to work with, and really hatch a plan. And I think that'll tell you your steps two and three. But when you have somebody besides you, because there's a lot of fear, there can be shame attached to where you are currently financially. And sometimes when you unpack it, it's not as bad as you think. Other times you unpack it and, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you need to move and you need to go today. But getting good counsel is key. And so if that's a financial coach, if that's a friend, but it's got to be somebody outside the situation with some wise advice for you. And that'll really help you know where you should go in terms of steps 2 and 3. Financial situations are so different, and it's not always about the numbers. A lot of times it has to do with values. So I know I talked to my podcast about a gal, and she had a gym membership. And I know that a lot of financial counselors would have told her, you know, cut that out. However, her goal was to be a trainer. So that was an expense that made perfect sense for her and had to do with her value system. And that's why I think you need wise counsel. When I say counsel, I don't mean counsel like attorney. I mean counsel like counselor. You know, somebody who can really speak wisdom into your life, specifically in this area of finances, but who is not going to just try and put you in some program. Somebody who has no vested interest in which way you go one way or the other, and is really just there to help you and help you take a step back, a 30,000-foot view, objective look at what you have and where you want to be.
I think that's interesting. You're talking about the girl who was going to the gym. She had gym membership, trying to get out of debt, but that was something that she wanted to keep because she wants to become a trainer someday. We look at that and say, well, you don't need to be going to the gym and paying for a gym membership. But then if it's something like your formula expenses are a big percentage of your income, we never suggest cutting back on the baby formula, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
We put our own beliefs and our own feelings into somebody else's budget, and that can't happen.
Yeah. And one place we did cut down is when we sat down, she's spending a lot on alcohol, going out with friends. Well, that's not part of her value system, right?
Right.
She's a single woman, so going out with her friends is, you know, that's very social for her, but alcohol, she's going to be a trainer. She needs a lot less alcohol and a lot more gym time, right?
True. Well, Emily, I'd love to have you talk a little bit more, but I know your time is valuable and you need to get out there and help some more people. So first, I'd like to see if you could just leave everyone who's listening to this with just a message of hope. Is there life after bankruptcy? Is there things that they can do that will make big strides before they have to consider bankruptcy? You know, just leave people with a message of hope if you could.
Well, I think the main message of hope is that it can be better than it is now. A lot of times people, and I know again because I've been there, it's just too scary to look at. It's to know what's really going on. There's a huge amount of fear there. So when you're waking up in the middle of the night and all of that, I mean, you're in financial distress. And when you're in distress, if that was medical, you would go get help. So if you're in financial distress, again, that wise counsel, somebody who can walk alongside you, that we can look at what's really going on, it will be better. It will get better. It's not a permanent situation. It's a temporary situation. And you just need the prescription. I know the hope. I want to transmit the hope to other people. There are tools. There are people. You know, you and I both podcast. You and I both blog. There's some really good stuff there to get you from where you are to where you want to be.
Amen, sister. Can you tell the listeners how they can reach out to you and learn more? And tell us a little bit about your book, No More Midnight Money Sweats.
Yeah, well, my website is emilychasesmith.com. And so that's kind of the nexus. You can get to the podcast from there. You can get to the blog from there, and you can check out the book. One of the things that I was spending a lot of time doing was counseling people on how to settle their debt. Because it's doable. You know, you can hire somebody. I do settle debt. We do it all the time. But it's not brain surgery. It's like a part-time job. And so I knew if people had the tools on how specifically to settle debt, what to say, who to talk to, how to reach an agreement, how to make sure that agreement is going to serve you 5 years from now if that debt gets sold down the river and you hear about it again. So that's really what No More Midnight Money Sweats is teaching people how to settle their own debt. But I'm happy to counsel with people on their situation. If they want advice about bankruptcy or whatever, you can reach out to me through the website.
And that's emilychasesmith.com. And I'll have, of course, links to that in the show notes at moneyplansos.com. Well, once again, Emily, thanks for coming on the show, giving us your time, giving us a little bit of background about bankruptcy and some hope that there's other things that we can do to avoid that miserable situation.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of hope. Tons of hope. I wish I could bottle it.
No, I'll just record it and put it on a podcast every week, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thanks, Emily.
Thanks to you.
Hi, everybody. Average Joe here from the Two Guys in Your Money podcast. You're listening to Money Plan SOS, where you're paying attention, not interest.
I want to thank again Emily Chase Smith from emilychasesmith.com for helping us out today and learning a little bit about those changes in bankruptcy and then what happens after bankruptcy. You've got the creditors still chasing after you for your business. And they know because they've got you on the hook. You can't file for bankruptcy again for a number of years. And if you take out some credit, if you take out some debt, you're going to be on the hook for that. You cannot get out of it, which really you should pay it off anyway. But let's just say bankruptcy should be one of those things that you should know about, but let's not lean towards that being our solution until you reach a situation that's so untenable that you really don't have too many other options. Save up a little cash for emergencies, make your payments on time, and pay attention, not interest. And come back next week when I have an interview with Michael Bovey, who shares with us 5 things you won't hear debt settlement companies say. God bless you and have a great week. Let's go, Cardinals!